Praise God. I just thank the Lord for his presence in this place. It's so awesome, and I know that even before we just, for a few minutes, just share together, I know that you just want to thank him. And I just ask, maybe just all over this place, if you would just slip your hand up, if the Lord has done something for you. And tonight, some of you, we're just raising our hands in faith and say, Lord, complete your work. You are so gracious. Lord, we thank you for every part of this conference. We thank you. You have come. You have honored us by coming. Lord, we covet and we esteem your presence here. Have your way tonight by your Spirit. And we'll give you all the praise as grateful daughters in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's been close to 24 hours now since we've gathered. I still think there's a tiny bit of blooming left to do. And I am so grateful that the Lord has touched our hearts. And every song that was sung, every testimony, every dance, everything had his touch upon it. And I'm so grateful and thank him for everything he has done. And I would also like to just thank every woman that has stepped out to be part of this organizing conference and that just felt like this is something that we must do. It is time. And that it, for us to be able to abide in his presence, tarry together a little bit, and experience what God does when he brings women together under the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the Word, he changes us. And then we go out and change our worlds. And I just want to thank all the women that have said yes. And I want to thank all the women that have said yes to the Lord this conference. And he's not finished yet. He's not finished. If you would turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. If you would just leave that open on your laps. In 2006, my husband, Pastor Carter Conlon, we were together, and out of the blue, total out of the blue, unexpected, he turned to me and he said, you're going to go to the UK and you're going to speak to women about prayer, and God is going to raise up an army of praying women, and the fate of the nation will be in their hands. Because God is going to, they're going to listen, and they're going to pray. And I was so aghast that he said that. It was just as if he would say, looks like rain today. It was just that unexpected and out of the blue. And of course, immediately, I did what you would have done, honestly now. I shrunk from that and like, no, I don't think so. Well, one reason, first of all, when you hear that kind of word, it's too big. It's supposed to be too big. Second of all, you know yourself. And of course, that's our problem, isn't it? That when the Lord speaks, we immediately look to ourselves instead of him. And you think, I couldn't do that. I'm not worthy. Well, I can't, and I'm not worthy. But the Lord, I sort of thought this couldn't be because I don't really consider myself like a person with a big enough prayer life to kind of spearhead that. I don't see, some women, they tell me they have a ministry of intercession, and some women I know were far more faithful in prayer and seem to enjoy prayer and do prayer more than I did. And I questioned how I could be part of that army. And as I just, these things were coming before me, he said, you know, you see, no, you're not really going to talk about prayer. The Lord is going to put a word in your mouth, and he's going to stir women up, and the end result is they're going to know who they are in Christ and begin to pray believing prayers, the kind of prayers that he answers and that it pleases him to hear. Prayer is even like we heard our sister testify tonight, that, Lord, you're going to take care of me. And there was this assurance that he heard her prayer. Because in everything, he longs for our fellowship. He created us to have this kind of intimacy with him. and he misses us when we don't have it. And we don't realize how much we miss him when we don't have it. And when I said, I was just listening to him, he said, you know, I'm so convinced of this that I'm just going to phone, and we're going to rent a hotel room in London in July, and this is what we're going to do. Well, that was astounding to me because we didn't know one person in London. We had no contacts whatsoever. And then you just kind of think, well, if it's God, it will happen. I mean, it's not I doubted him. When you look at yourself, you doubt everything. And so in June of that year, we were at a conference, speaking at a conference in Jerusalem. And after I spoke, this man came up to me and he said, could I talk to you for a minute? I'm from the UK and I own a bookstore and I'd like to talk to you. And unbeknownst to me, my husband heard him and kind of followed us up the stairs. Now, normally he doesn't do this. He's a busy pastor. He has enough to do, but he just kind of followed us up. And he said, I was wondering, do you think that you could come and you could to the UK and you could speak to women? And all of a sudden I heard a voice behind me say, yes, she'll come. And then he said, do you know women who in prayer networks? Do you know women who prays? And over prayer groups and things. And he goes, yes, I do. He goes, good. We'll be there July 7th. If you could just organize a few people to be there, we'll meet them there at this date. In 2.5 weeks or 3 weeks, I was there. 35 women were in the room. And these assembled women sat there, and he just began to speak to them of what the Lord was saying to him. And he said, the theme of this is women. And it's found actually in Hebrews 11:35, women receive their dead raised to life again. He said that's what's going to happen. Women will receive their dead raised to life again. That's what's going to happen. And he began to just share with them what the Lord had been speaking to him and how he felt that this place would be brought almost to the brink of ruin. But God had a plan, and it was praying women. And that the Lord would begin to send a word to the women in the UK, and that they would respond. And in that responding, God was going to do something he's been longing to do and wants to do. And as he began, you know, just sharing this, I was sitting there with them listening at the same time. We were all receiving it together. And it was amazing to me because at the end you want to go, excuse me, but do you think you could do this? I mean, you're the envisioned one. You're getting the message. You know, you should maybe come to speak to the women. You have such faith in this. But, you know, it's like a type and a shadow of what the Lord wants to do, of speaking to a group of women who don't consider themselves spiritual giants. Yet they know the time and the hour they're living in. And there's, Lord, would you teach me to pray? And Lord, I'd like to pray more. And I want to pray believing prayers. And I want those that you begin to lay on my heart that I can pray the kind of prayers that you will raise them from the dead. You will snatch them from the enemy. You will break the strongholds. And when I was sharing this with some women today, you know, just this story, they said, do you think your husband could come speak to us? And it was like, you know, well, that would be great. He is a much better preacher than I am, and it would be awesome. But you see, that's not how it's going to work. You know, when Esther, she was got that word, you know, that you're to go in and speak to the king. I know everything. I had an Esther moment. I know everything within her would say, you know, Mordecai, you are the man of the hour. You're the anointed one. You are the one who stands up against Haman. You refuse to bow to the spirit of the age. You should be the one. And this man of God, having the spirit of God on him, says, no, it's not for me to do. This is your hour. This is for you to do, Esther. And you know what she says? I haven't been called to the king in 30 days. It's such a type of, you know, I don't really have the relationship with him that you think I have. And I believe that the message that the Lord's giving and will continue to give you from all sorts of sources here in this nation will be, the enemy will try to go, you can't do this because, you know, you don't have the relationship with the Lord that's needed to see this through, a fulfillment in what his heart is. But you see, that is how God works. He takes people who really in themselves don't think themselves great spiritual giants, but they do know that they're saying, Lord, you are stirring me by your spirit. And there's something coming into me and I'm getting desperate. And Lord, I want to pray more than I've ever wanted to pray. And Lord, I do want to more faith to see you move like you want to move. And that's exactly who God uses. And that's exactly the kind of heart that he's looking for. And it's that what the Lord has spoken, I believe this promise, you know, God makes promises. God makes promises to us. We don't have to try to make promises to him. That if I pray more, if I read more, if I fast more, if I do this more, if I go to this, then Lord, you will kind of hear this prayer. God says, no, the work of God is to believe God. The work is to believe him. And he clearly tells us in Hebrews that there is going to be a time that he is going to, by the hearing of God's word, begin to stir faith. And there is going to be women arise who are going to who have received their dead raised to life again. And he's looking for women that he can stir. He's looking for women that are saying, Lord, put me into this book and Holy Spirit be my teacher. Make it become alive to me. And let me look away from myself because I can't bring anything supernatural to the mix. I can't do anything in my flesh. But Lord, when I look away from myself, because it's not about me, it's about you keeping your word. When you begin to speak through this word and the Holy Spirit brings it off the page, oh Lord, give me grace and mercy to believe you're speaking to me. And that you will lead me in to this. You will lead me. You will be faithful to yourself. You will be faithful to your word. You who began the work will finish the work. You are speaking the word. You will bring it to completion. And look away from yourselves, my sister. Don't look at your track record. Look to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to even think, let alone ask. That is the God that we serve. And that is the God who is sending his spirit into our hearts that we can begin to cry, Father, Father, could I live a life that pleases you? Could I be found in this day's freed up to hear you and to do your will for my life. And, you know, it says in Hebrews 11 that through faith, in verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. She looked away from herself and she said, who is promising me life where I only have a dead body, where it's absolutely incapable for me to bring forth life? Who it is that's promising? Who is promising you tonight and me tonight that he promises to bring life where we're dead, where we're incapable, where we at times can't even believe it? Who, if we look to him, say, Lord, I judge you faithful. I don't have to be faithful in this. I'm just going to judge you faithful because you're looking for women that you can restore, that who can be taught to be received dead, that receive the dead and that are going to be raised to life again. Now, when I thought about that, I said, now, how do I read this scripture? Women, do I read it like this? Do I read women received their dead, comma, raised to life again? In other words, God put before their path thoroughly spiritually dead people. And he just somehow, you became like a mama bear and you just latched on to somebody for to see their salvation, to see their breakthrough, to see their addictions broken because you've judged him faithful who promises to raise the dead. Because the gospel is about dead men living. Always will be. It's about the dead living. That's the gospel. And somehow we're being stirred, Lord, I judge you faithful, who's made a promise to me. Now, are we like to say, women receive their dead like family members, impossible situations in our family around us, and it means, and we're going to see them raised to life again? But I was thinking, if that's how we interpret it, then we have to start calling ourselves Sarah in the mirror. We have to start saying, you know, there is nothing in us that can raise the dead. But I'm going to be like Sarah, who the scripture says that she was not, she was able to call Abraham Lord and was not amazed or overcome with fear about anything. She was not filled with amazement and fear. That we are able to call Jesus our Lord and say, Lord, I thank you that you are going to break the fear and the unbelief. And that, Lord, I thank you that if you are putting people in front of me that are addicted, that are dead, that Lord, I'm just going to, first of all, I ask you to stir any dead part in me. I ask you where I'm fearful, where I can't believe you, I thank you, Lord. It's your will. You will visit me now. As you visited Sarah and she conceived well past age, you will do it again. And you will visit me, O God, with your spirit. And you will cause that which is dead and unbelieving and fearful to be sprung to life. And you have experienced this. And he will do it again. We are here tonight because we have that testimony that Jesus has raised us from the dead. He's touched the death in us and brought it to life. And God is in that business. We sang tonight, crucified to set me free. How much freedom does the cross buy? How much freedom does the cross buy? All our freedom. Everything we need, every place we need to be free. That's how rich, how deep, how powerful, how renewing the cross is. So we can sit here tonight and say, Lord, I'm leaving this place, and I know my new middle name is Sarah. That every place that I need visited with your life, you will be faithful to do it for your glory. I don't have to make promises to you. I'm going to judge you faithful. When you made that promise to me, I'm going to judge you faithful. And you are going to keep your promise to me. Now, I was thinking, if I was looking back at that scripture, what if it was women received their dead raised to life again? So I began to think, what if that scripture means that you are going to send new souls into our midst? You're going to send new converts. You're going to send the feeble among us. You're going to send the needy among us. You're going to send people who have just been newly raised from the dead, that God is going to sweep through this church and sweep through the churches. And he's saying in the last move of time, I need women who can be who receive the dead who are brought back to life. I need women who are going to have that sensitivity to deal with the new Lazaruses among us. Because, you know, when Lazarus got out of the grave, he's newly raised from the dead. But, of course, we know the picture. He's swaddled in grave clothes. And I'm sure he was, like, hopping out because, you know, his feet were bound. And he needed a certain touch. Lord, would you make us the kind of women that you can send Lazaruses, newly raised from the dead, among us? And your gifts of mercy, your gifts of compassion, your gifts of teaching, your gifts of helps, which is organizing and things like that. Lord, would you put gifts in me that I would use for the newly raised from the dead? And of course, if we're willing to pray that prayer, we will all need the gift of patience. Hebrews 12, 1, it says this. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. There's a race tonight that the Lord is setting before us. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. And I think sometimes in the Christian church, if we were honest, sometimes we've been light with no heat. Sometimes to the newly raised, we can be light without. Sometimes to an unbelieving, dead spiritual world, our light can be like starlight. You know, kind of distant, cold. But the Lord, I think, tonight is promising us, no, I'm going to flood your soul with sunlight. Because we know the greatest heat is from the sun. And I believe that the Lord wants a witness among us that we're not a distant, cold starlight, but you and I would be willing to say, Lord, you're the light of the world, so then I'll be the light of the world, but I want your light, sunlight. And there, what kind of heat radiates from the sun? And that you and I could be that kind of testimony right there. We're not starlight, but we are sunlight. There is warmth with the light. There is warmth in our light that we give. I say all this to say, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but when I went through a stage in my younger Christianity where I was extremely awkward with people, and, you know, I could be very social, but I couldn't be close. If people needed for me to take half a step closer to them, to start to delve into personal issues, I froze. And that's so awkward when you're the minister's wife. Because, you know, if you're social, you can kind of give the impression through your friendliness that you can be an emotional support, or you can give something to them, or you're willing to take a half step into their life. And when they do, because you're friendly or because you're social, and all of a sudden you go awkward, everybody goes awkward. And I know what it is to have this kind of, this light. Not that I wanted it, not that I liked it, but there seemed to be no way out of just starlight instead of sunlight. Light with no heat. Bound by fear in many ways. Bound. And it was like a cry of my heart was, Lord, I want to be free. You died for my freedom. And I would honor you if I was free. So would you please take this awkward, unhealed, needy lady? Would you do something for your glory? And the Lord, you know, answered in a very unusual way. In our church, we had just actually come to Times Square Church. And a great thing about a big city and a big church is you can actually be very social and it never shows up. You're awkward if people come in a half step close because there's so many, you can kind of get lost in a crowd. But you know, I knew that was living at a half life, and I knew that the Lord didn't want that for me, but there was no way I could get myself out. Prayed about it, wanted out in many ways, wanted to be able to connect with people. But you know, so many times, when you pray that kind of prayer, Lord, just let me be able to move a half step closer to people and not be afraid. You're really actually, in your mind, praying about something that's actually the branches where the Lord says, done, but I'll go to the root of things. And we, as a church, took a missions group. 300 of us went to Russia. And I was one of them. And our job was to, this was in the mid-90s when actually the wall had just fallen down, just a few years before. And it was quite a novelty for the Russian people to receive us into their midst. And we went, and our job was to, there in Russia, in the summer, children are sent to summer camps. And they have elite summer camps where they send, because both mom and dad work, they have elite summer camps where they send the gymnasts or people who excel in certain kind of sports. They have camps for kids that are excellent in science. They have camps, specialized camps. But in the main, they run camps just for kids to go to the summer to be near the beach. And then they have camps, you know, where the little more unruly or kids from harder backgrounds go. And we ended up in a camp, and before we left, we were given a word, and that word was, when you go to Russia, look low, and then look lower. I thought, what kind of word is that? Look low, and then look lower. How? But it wouldn't go away, you know. Have you ever had something, someone says something to you, and it's like this little burr in your heart? It's always, you know, it presses, and you remember that word. So I remembered that word. Off we go to the camp, and our job is to play and all day with the kids. We give them English lessons, and many did in their off times. They would end up, we had opportunity to share the gospel with them, and sometimes the camp workers. So we had full days. We're up early in the morning, and we would be going all day with the kids, running these programs in the sun. You'd fall in bed exhausted at night. And I wasn't there very long when this word, look low and then look lower, was always upon me. When one day I noticed what looked to me like a very elderly lady pulling a pail. And she seemed having a very hard time with this pail. And then I could see that she entered into one of the public bathrooms and realized that this was a lady who cleaned the toilets. And Russian camp bathrooms are horrendous. And many of these women that clean the toilets, they're grandmothers, babushkas. And the reason they do that is because then their grandchildren can go to the camp free. They can have a few weeks free. And some ways that's the only way that these kids would get to go to a camp. And so these grandmas go and they scrub the toilets. And all of a sudden, it's like everywhere I looked, I saw these hidden ones, like these completely invisible women, because the way they felt about themselves and the way they looked, they almost like disappeared into the background. You know, they didn't want to be seen. They you could tell the way they acted that they were only fit for scrubbing these horrible bathrooms. So I get this idea that why don't we have a tea for them? So I share with a few people, and they got really excited and said, let's have a tea. So we invited them all, and they came in very nervous, you know, and we served them tea. And when we served them tea, I can't explain it to you, except a hunger came into my heart to minister to these women, like an overpowering sense of I wanted these women to know that they were loved and that Jesus loved them. And so I said, come back for tea tomorrow night. And so they came back for tea, and this group, we would kind of rustle around our suitcases, see if we had nuts or cookies or something. And when we would go to serve them, they would be all overcome and hide behind their faces. And they, you know, like, please don't serve me. And we found some of us had nuts, and we'd pass them nuts, and they were overwhelmed. They couldn't take our nuts. They didn't want to eat our cookies. They were just so amazed that, you know, that they were there. But it became like a delight. No, they are going to have cookies, and they're going to have nuts. I would force it. And one lady, Babushka Vera, she took a handful like this, and I thought, now one's going to eat the nuts. And she put it in her pocket, and she went, Zhenya. That meant for her grandson. She wouldn't take for herself, but she'd take for him. Well, when I saw that, it was like, would you guys like to come to a Bible study through the translator? Yeah, a Bible study? Okay, they just wanted, I can't explain what that circle was, and I'm not trivializing it, but it was like this love fest that came into our midst. And they started coming at night, and we would have Bible studies with them, and we shared the gospel. And I will never forget the night that this one lady that God had attached my heart to, Babushka Vera, and she was tall, a very small lady, and she was as tall, she was wide. And she just... I would look at that lady and I would feel the deep yearning of Jesus for her soul. And I found myself walking down this Russian path, throwing my arms around this lady. And I couldn't but help not love her. And night three, as we shared the gospel, she jumped out of her chair, and as light as a feather on her toes, she began to twirl and dance like a little girl. And she started singing Slava Bogu, praise the Lord in Russian. And she just was singing hallelujah. And the transformation upon this woman was amazing. And her countenance, everything changed. And from the weight of the world to being totally rejected in this life, discounted, not honored in any way, this woman, the mighty love of Jesus, broke into her heart. And she knew she was loved by God. And she knew the name Jesus. And it was thrilling her. And it was an awesome night. And we began, she was so transformed that everyone she would meet, of all these ladies and everything, they would look at her and they would be drawn like honey, flies to honey, like, what happened to you? And she would tell them what Jesus did and how her sin was rolled away. And she has this new life and she was absolutely glowing. And so she began to gather all the, you know, not just the low people in the camp, but the lowest of the low. And she would bring them in and this would, you know, and every night we would have Bible study with them. One night, these great big guys came in and it filled the doorway. And they came in to sat down in the Bible study, and I'm thinking, oh, all right, you know what? I had this little word prepared for the ladies who cleaned the toilets, but now that the big guys are in, maybe we should have something else. I felt like the hand of the Holy Spirit come on me and squeeze me and said, who did I ask you to love? Who is this for? And it was like, Lord, for these ladies, then you minister to them. I've called you to them. And so I repented and I immediately got my joy back, not the anxiety. And I just began to minister to them and saw them transform. Shortly after that, all of a sudden, there was a camp directive. And we were not allowed access to the women who scrubbed the toilets. I was thinking, you know, you people don't even see these people. Why are you so threatened if the women who scrub the toilets, you are banning us from meeting or having a Bible study? And I was thinking, you know, when we came into your midst, we came in to play with the children, but I felt like, but they could play with the kids too. And we would speak with the children, but they could speak to the children too. And we could love those children as the Lord gave us love. And they could love the children too. But they couldn't see or love the women who scrubbed the toilets. And it was like there was something of power afoot and they were very afraid. And I'll never forget when everybody had to obey, they'd lose their job. And I remember standing at this window and overlooking the square where they would gather at night, a lot of times 9:30 at night, and they would bring those scrub buckets with them to the Bible study. And we used to gather in a square and then all walk over together to a building. And I looked down on that empty square that night. My heart's so broken. And this was their lifeline. And just thinking and praying and praying, and all of a sudden, out of the shadows of the building comes Vera Babushka with her pail, walks right over to the middle of the square and sits down as if she's defying them in the sense of, you can't take this from me. You can legislate all you want, but what I've been given, you can't take. She sat there in that square all alone. She could have been dismissed. All kinds of but she made her stand. Love did that for her. And I realized, did you know you get healed by loving people? I found that out. You get healed by loving people. And I realized that looking down at her, what a blessing she was to me, just days old in the Lord, And I realized every time we say yes to the Lord, what he asks us to do, he gives us giftings. We receive. I had giftings, I realized, that the Lord, when I said yes, equipped me to do the yes. What I didn't have going to Russia, I had in Russia. And I looked down at that lady in the square, and I was just rejoicing. I knew what that stand meant. 2 days later, the ban was lifted, because I knew she was sitting there, and it's like no power of hell was going to ever bring her back into domination, into darkness. She was loved, and she knew it. And you know, we continued to have these Bible studies. We had amazing times. And you know something, by the end of that, we were listening to these women whose teeth weren't there because when they were children, they were part of starvation tactics. They were women who had been unbelievable stories. And yet God came and equipped their heart with incredible understanding of the word already as babes. And when we left, I remember how we all wept and cried. Something so special had happened in this midst. This supernatural love came into our midst that was just overflowing. And anybody that came in within 100 miles of that knew something supernatural was happening in our midst. And I remember as we drove out of the bus, our team of 300, the children all lined the road down till we hit the highway. They lined hundreds of children waving and crying, but I'll never forget the women who scrubbed the toilets, almost like our honor guard leaving. I found out later that this mini revival happened in that camp through Babushka Vera. It wasn't who we thought or in our own understanding that was going to be bringing a spiritual life and transformation to a recently former communist camp. To those children, it was the women who scrubbed the toilets. Not who we think. Never who we think many times. Can I say that God wants to give women giftings and things you don't have? If you would just step out when he's speaking to you, you may feel so needy in yourself. You may feel so ill-equipped. You may feel like I hardly have anything to give. But I tell you something, God doesn't see you as you are. He sees what he's going to do. And the minute you step out and say yes, he will give you the giftings. He will supernaturally heal you. He's looking for women whose hearts will say, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll follow you into loving people. I will follow you into, if you bring the Lazaruses among me, I know there is such an incredible blessing for this. And my sisters, you begin praying and ask God to give you this compassion and concern. Sometimes we're just so afraid of it. We're afraid, what will it mean? It will mean glory in your soul, healing in your soul, healing in your families, and the name of Jesus being lifted up. It means soul being saved and the darkness broken up. It means that you and I transformed by the power of love. It means you and I put a deposit that can't be taken from us. Hell can't shake it out of us or lie it out of us. It means the glory of God will come into our midst. Women will receive the dead, will receive the dead raised to life again among them. God is looking, and I believe is finding women in this place tonight that are saying, Lord, I'm really ready. Not by looking at myself, but I'm really ready to follow you and what you're asking of me. And you know, perfect love casts out fear. And I can't tell you how many times, if God put an open door before me and I would just quake and shake and then just get up and go through it and found out he showed up, that the Lord was faithful and he did do a supernatural work. that he did do something in me, and he did do something through me because I followed him. That he did turn this witness, this gospel light in me from just light to heat. And it made all the difference. And God knows how to heal you, my sister. He knows how to give you faith. And you are women, for the large part, that know the word. And when this conference ends, even tonight, just a simple prayer. Lord, give me courage. And Lord, open my heart. I will follow you. I will follow you. And beloved, you will follow him, and there will be something of a religious spirit broken up, something of how people have preconceived ideas of what it means to be saved. They're going to see a real, live, breathing woman getting freer and freer and freer. And it won't be just the message you say. You are the message. You will become the message. You will become the message. And ultimately, that is the amazing part of the story. And, you know, it takes a lot to say, Lord, make me willing to be willing. The scripture says, thy people will be made willing in the day of your power. He's going to make us willing. There's a lot he knows. The enemy paints a picture. You know, if you do this, and if you say, Lord, I want to be able to love people. I want to be able to take that half step into their personal life and personal space, because there's a cause greater than my fear here. There's a cause greater for your name and what you want to do in this nation. But it's going to start with women who are saying, Lord, you know, I give you my unwillingness, I give you my fear, I give you it all for your glory, and he will come through. Judge him faithful. He will come through, and he will transform you. He will transform you. And you'll get so hungry for the word, and you, believe me, when you step out to follow him and obey him, you will become a prayer warrior. Oh, you will. Be like, Lord, what do I say now? What do I do now? A friend of mine, he felt like the Lord say, go up to that man and witness to him. So, you know, he kind of hung back because, I don't know, I can't do that. But it got stronger and stronger. Go up to that man and witness to him. And he had done it. He took him so long to finally settle it in his heart to obey, to go after him. And the longer you hesitate, the harder it is to get to obey. So he had to take off running, and he went running up behind him in full sprint, and finally just kind of, you know, almost fell on him to tap his shoulder, and the man was all startled, and he turned around and he looked at him and he goes, what? And the guy goes, oh, I don't know. And he just looked at him, and it just came out, you know? It just came out. We were at a women's conference in Limerick, and we'd had 3 days of being fed. I said, you know what? The fourth day, we just got to get out there. We got to go on the streets. And it's like, all these ladies, okay. So we're going to go on the streets of Limerick. Now, that's a tough crowd out there on a Sunday afternoon. So what we decided, we were going to have a concert. And we all the people that are just even a tiny bit talented said we're going to have a talent show. And what we're going to do is we're going to go out on the streets of Limerick, and we're going to invite them to this concert. And if they wanted to come, meet us at the bus station at 6:00, and we'll give you a ride out there. We'll be there for about an hour and a half. We'll give you a ride home. And what was amazing to me, I was looking, because, you know, God had fed us all weekend, and there has to be an outlet or it'll hurt if you keep it in. And there had to be an outlet. And so there they were, two by two on the streets. And I saw them, and they, you know, they were no respecter of persons. And these great big guys that just, like, you know, their hand could swallow you. They were, and fierce looking guys. And there I saw them, you know, beginning to talk to them, and they're looking down. This is the strangest group. But do you know, people came. And people got saved. it's amazing when you go out there how receptive people are, because you're doing it because you feel like the Lord's asking you to. And he was obviously leading. It all fell into place the way that that was orchestrated in just a few hours. And people got saved. It was amazing. And I remember saying to them, the Lord has a divine appointment for you. Don't miss it today. He has a divine appointment for you. And if we're willing to go out in twos with wisdom, prayed up, but believing that God wants us to speak to someone today, because he has fed us and spoken to us all weekend, we're just going to obey him. And I remember it was getting close to the end time, and I hadn't had my divine appointment. You know, like, you know, you cross paths with someone. And I remember it started to pour rain. So, surprise. So we ducked into this coffee shop, and it's one of those ones you stand, you know, and we were drinking coffee, and all of a sudden I saw a young girl go by, and I went, I didn't even say goodbye to them. I didn't say, I dropped my coffee cup. I ran out the door in the rain, up the hill. And I had like a replay of my friend, what he did. And the same thing, I had to run uphill to catch her. And when I finally kind of fell on her shoulder, she turned around all startled too. I told her about this conference, this concert, and if she would like to come. And she was one of the ones that came. And she was visiting from France. She was from Africa. She was so lonely. And Jesus met her that night. Now I know the Lord has been speaking to you all weekend. And I know he's prepared our hearts. And I know he has filled us. And now he's saying, you can do it, my daughters. I've prepared you for such a time as this. The Lord wants to do something in this city. That obviously he's pulling prayer in the square, prayer at the square together. You are women who God has made a deposit in. And he's saying, I'm going to put an army on my feet. And it's going to be praying women who are going to be able to receive the Lazarus, who are going to be able to love people to life, who are going to be able to be burdened in prayer in the sense of a name is going to come. And you're going to look away from yourself. You're going to look away from yourself and you're saying, my God is able. And God wants to touch this community today. God wants to touch my family today. He wants to break the addictions today. God wants to do something mighty and great, even if it is just having me take that one step and saying, Lord, I follow you, whatever you're asking me to do. And this city is waiting to see women set free. You are going to have an impact, as we say in the States, you're going to punch above your weight. This was for this time, was for a special time in a season. And don't let it pass. Don't say that was a great word and let it fall to the ground. Don't miss your time. Don't miss your time. God will be there for you. God will be faithful. He'll lead you through the word by his spirit. He will make divine appointments for you. He's going to break you out of that shell of fear and unbelief. He's going to heal you because you're going to say, Lord, I want to be able to value a soul like you do. I want to be no respecter of persons. You're going to take me out of my shell. You're going to take me out of this place of living where I know, Lord, that just I'd be losing something vital. And beloved, may I say so lovingly, many times that vital thing is obedience. Is to take that first step out of the gate and say, I'll follow you, Lord. And see him do the miraculous. Hallelujah. 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 I'd just like you, for 1 minute, if everyone would just close their eyes. Just remain seated for 1 minute. But if you just close your eyes. And not looking to the right or the left. Because you're locked in with God now. This is your time. This is your time. With your eyes closed. Saying, Lord, I'm going to follow you. Whatever that means, I know that your word And the Holy Spirit will guide me and teach me. And I will be under the proper authorities, and I'll be able to not be afraid. But I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. And I'll trust you for the courage. I'll trust you for the leading. I'll trust you for the right work I'm to be involved in. I trust you that my life's going to count for something, that when you save me for a purpose, and I'm going to move into it. And I'm going to believe you. I'm going to see your glory in my soul, your glory in my family. I'm going to see you move supernaturally because I'm going to follow you. And if that's your heart, not looking to the right or left, why don't you just say, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow you, Jesus. If you call, I'm coming out the gate. If you just quietly, just slip your hands up. If you're saying, that's me, that's the prayer of my heart. I'm going to follow you, Jesus, no matter what. I'm going to start living life as you intended it for me. And I'm going to trust you for every step. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You can put your hands down. Lord, I praise you, Lord. And I thank you that you will be faithful, that you will take every woman, Lord, who has said tonight, in a new way, I'm trusting you to lead me and I will follow you. Lord, I just come against every lying spirit. I come against everything, Lord, that would want to shut them down. And Lord, keep them back, holding back. I thank you, Lord, that there is an Esther anointing. There is, Lord, something that you have in the spirit for them. It is something, Lord, that they're looking away from themselves and they're believing you, Lord, to move by your spirit in them and through them. That, Lord, many lives are going to be changed and divine appointments are going to happen through them because, Lord, they're looking to you to step out, Lord. Whatever that means, step out in obedience and be led into the things of God by your Spirit through your word. And Lord, I just pray now for every woman in this place, oh God, that is grappling with a sense of insecurity, with grappling, Lord, with a sense, could you love me? Lord, I pray you break the lie of the enemy. Everyone, Lord, that battles, Lord, to believe that you love them, that, Lord, that you have a purpose for their life. I pray, oh God, that by your Spirit and your love, you would witness even now, Lord, that you are not casting anyone aside in this place. And that, Lord, you will break the strongholds, Lord, of these insecurities and the spirits of rejection, the spirits of abuse, that, Lord, they could believe, Lord, that you love them and you are with them. And that you do have a plan for their life. I ask you, Lord, just to minister, Lord, to all the abused in heart. And Lord, those that couldn't even, Lord, feel that they could believe you for the smallest of things. I ask you now in the mighty name of Jesus, that by your Spirit, oh God, you would just break down in a supernatural way those walls and those lies, oh God, that the enemy has implanted, that life experience has shaped them to think about themselves. And Lord, I pray you release them by the Spirit. And that, Lord, they would turn to your word and you would begin to speak to them and things would leap up and you would begin to heal them. I pray, Lord, that they would begin to ask for the ability to trust you and love people, to trust you and love people. That, Lord, you would so smash the strongholds around their heart that they would be willing to follow you into this, to ask to trust you and to love people in a supernatural way. Lord, we don't do this in our own strength. We don't ask to love people in our own strength. Lord, but I know as you visited me, so you will visit women in this congregation, Lord, that are afraid to love and are afraid, Lord. But Lord, you will be a ring around them. You will be a refuge to them. You will be the glory and the lifter up of their head. Lord, you will go to places deep in their heart and in their spirits that no other any person has ever been except a dark spirit. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the Lord of deliverance. You are a redeemer. And you will go to those deep places and are doing it even now. I ask you by your Spirit, Lord, to yank open the door. Lord, you understand And I pray, Lord, that they've been made willing to a point, Lord, of lifting their head up. And Lord, you will do the rest. That, Lord, you love them now and open the door by your Spirit and flood them in and heal them, Lord. Make them women of your word, Lord. And thank you that no weapon formed against them shall prosper in the name of Jesus. They will not be kept back in a cave. They will not be kept in a dark place. But you died to bring them forth into your healing love, into your healing light. I thank you now that we have, Lord, authority because you've given it us in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, we just take authority over all these spirits of intimidation, religious spirits, spirits that keep women back, Lord, feeling powerless, feeling not worth anything. Lord, you will visit them with life and love, just as you did Vera Babushka, just as you did me, just as you did when I reached out to her, and Lord, she reached out to you, and then, Lord, we were both healed. Lord, there's healing in this place tonight. There's healing by your Spirit. We declare healing. We declare freedom. We declare women who will follow you, Lord, because they're looking up tonight, and they're trusting you. Now, I'm going to ask you one more time. You who are saying, I'm going to trust you, Lord. I trust your love. I trust your Spirit in this place. Now with eyes wide open, you say, Lord, I'm going to follow you because I know, Lord, you love me and you have come to touch me. Raise your hand openly in this place and say, Lord, I receive your love now. I receive your healing. And I thank you, it's for a purpose to lead me into life. And it's to lead me into freedom. And ultimately to lead others into freedom. The Lord is in this place, beloved. Do not hang back now. Just reach up and receive it because that's what women did. Women received their dead raised to life. They received it. We're going to become receiving women. Women who know how to receive from God will not block out his healing love, will not block out his Holy Spirit. Women who received is the key to this message. And Lord, I thank you now. Lord, this is not a pep message. This is your Spirit speaking deeply to wounded hearts and hearts that can't trust but are willing tonight, oh God, to say, I'm going to judge you faithful, my God, because you've spoken to me all weekend. You touched me tonight. I raise my hand to receive what you have from me. I receive your life. Receive the life now. And the love that is greater than your fear, that can break the fear, because fear has torment. And we break the torment tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. All over this place, just stand. I'm just going to ask you to stand and just receive tonight what the Lord has for you. Because you're shy, because you struggle, don't be kept back. Struggle is nothing to the Lord. Struggle is nothing. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Nothing. And he's here tonight. He's here tonight. Now thank you, Lord. You are here. We receive your Holy Spirit. We receive the word that was preached to us. We receive what you are saying to us. And we thank you, Lord. You're going to lead us into the path you have planned for us, not how, what the enemy has planned for us. We receive the path you have for us. And we trust you. I thank you, Lord, for the word that says, none that trust in you shall be left desolate. Not one woman who trusts you will be left by the wayside. Not one woman who trusts you will be left alone. Not one woman who trusts you will ever regret it. Not one woman who trusts you tonight will not step into the freedom you died for, that you went to a cross for, that you determined we should have. So, Lord, we receive in our spirit your Holy Spirit that causes this word to live and to bear fruit, that causes us to hear your word. And that, Lord, the little faith we have, it mixes with this. And you're putting us on our feet, Lord. An army for your glory. An army, Lord, that will know joy because they love. Lord, I just ask you now to release a spirit of peace and a spirit of joy for those that are receiving what you have. For those that struggle because they're looking to themselves still. Lord, be bigger than that to them right now. Be bigger than that. You're bigger than the struggle. And I thank you, you're causing our eyes to lift up higher than the struggle into your lovely face. And thank you for the deliverance here. Thank you for the freedom to follow you now. We refuse to let the enemy paint the picture of the consequences because he's a liar. He's the father of all lies. For we, as women, we are going to be free. We're going to be free to be released into the what you have for our life. Lord, you're going to heal the abuse. You're going to heal the trauma. You're going to heal the heavy-handedness. You're going to heal. And Lord, as my cry was, you heal me. You were faithful to me. And you will be faithful to this group of women. You will be faithful. You will heal. You will cause them to love in a supernatural way. You will cause them to receive, Lord, what you have for them. And they, in turn, will receive the struggling, the abused, the unlovable. And Lord, we will never be more happy. We will be women immersed in your joy and your peace. I thank you, Lord, that's our dowry as a bride. I thank you for the dowry of love, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. I thank you for that. That's our dowry, Lord. We're a bride. We come to our Father for a dowry. And I thank everyone who steps out to believe tonight in their heart, steps out to believe that, Lord, you will not fail us as we step out to follow you into freedom and into obedience. Lord, you will crown us as a bride with a shimmering garment of love and joy and peace, and we receive it. We receive it tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus.